Please turn again to that portion of Scripture which we read earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 34. Tonight we want to consider the subject, God buries Moses. Look with me there at Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Ask the Lord for his help again as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And we know, Lord, that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We thank thee, Lord, as far as the child of God is concerned, but it will be present with the Lord when they come to die. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a blessed hope the child of God has. We thank thee, Lord, for our eternal, everlasting salvation and redemption. And oh God, we pray tonight that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. Bless your own people. And Lord, for those in the meeting tonight who are not saved, we pray that you would reveal unto them the necessity of preparing to meet God. We know, Lord, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, Lord, we pray that each one here will be prepared for that day, saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh God, just come and fill us now afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. As we have studied the life of Moses, we have seen that throughout his life that there have been three mountain peak experiences. Mount Hor, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And now Mount Nebo, or Mount Pisgah, where God buries Moses. When we come to this 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, it's clear to see that Moses' work on earth at this time for God has come to an end. The interesting fact about the end of Moses' life upon earth is that he served God right to the very end of his earthly life. And although Moses was 120 years of age, his physical strength and vigor was still very impressive for a man at his age at the end of his life. We read, take a look at it there in Deuteronomy 34 verse 1, that Moses climbed up to the top of Mount Pisgah. No mean feat for an old man of 120 years of age. The truth of the matter is this, that God gave Moses the strength to serve him all the days of his life. But now as Moses stands on the top of Mount Pisgah, his work for God is finished, which means that his life upon this earth is over. The death and burial of Moses was something very unique. God was the only one at the funeral of Moses. And after Moses was buried, no one ever went to the grave to mourn for him, because the grave of Moses was kept a secret by God. No one, not even the devil, knew where Moses was buried. There's an interesting verse in the New Testament concerning the body of Moses. It's found in Jude verse 9. You should underline it in your Bible. It says this, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses." The devil wanted to know where the body of Moses was buried, but he could never find out where Moses' body was buried. It was God's secret. Only God knew, and only God knows. As we come to consider the death of Moses tonight, there are a number of things that I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. There's a message here for each and every one of us, for whether we're saved or not, each and every one of us someday, unless the Lord comes back again, we'll have to face the valley of the shadow of death. We'll have to die. But what a blessing it is to die in Christ, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. What a blessing it is to know before you die that you're going to heaven. And you know, child of God, that's our blessed hope. Someday we're going to leave this world behind us and we're going to be with Christ, which is far better. But friend, if you're not saved tonight, then if you think about your death, what a sad occasion that will be, because the moment you die, you'll be plunged out into hell itself, plunged out into a lost eternity. I pray that everyone here tonight will die like Moses. Because Moses died a child of God. Moses died redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Moses died as one whose faith was firmly fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we learn here about the death of Moses? What do we learn here from this incident here in Deuteronomy chapter 34? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, what God gave Moses before he died. I wonder, did you notice it as we were reading down this passage of Scripture? Before Moses died, God gave Moses a vision. In other words, God allowed Moses to see the promised land. Although Moses was not permitted to enter into the promised land because of his sin at the waters of Meribah, when he disobeyed God and smiting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And you'll remember that incident because we studied it in the course of this series of messages. However, God in mercy allowed Moses to see the promised land. Look with me there at verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him. Here's the vision that God gave Moses before he died. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zor. What a vision God gave Moses of the promised land. What a sight Moses saw. He saw all the land, every part of it. You know, if we were to stand on the top of Mount Nebo, we would not see all the land that Moses saw that day. I believe that God gave Moses a special vision that day to see all the land in detail. You see, I believe the vision God gave Moses was a miracle. Before God gave Moses eyes to see, because God gave Moses, rather should I say, all eyes to see all the land, it was a miracle. He saw it as if he was in it. Moses saw all the land of Gilead. Look at the verse again. Unto Dan. He saw all the land of Naphtali, all the land of Ephraim, and all the land of Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. He saw the south, all the plain of the valley of Jericho. Moses could even see the palm trees in the city of palm trees unto Zor. This is no ordinary seeing of the land, but it was a special vision, I believe, that God granted unto his servant. What a blessing. What was God teaching Moses here? Well, I believe God was teaching Moses that he always keeps his word. You see, the truth is that God had promised this land to Israel, and God was now going to fulfill his promise, because very soon the children of Israel would pass over the Jordan and into the promised land. But the Lord tells Moses this. Take a look with me at the beginning of verse 4, and you'll read these tremendous words. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. God here was reminding Moses that he, the God of glory, was going to fulfill his word to the children of Israel. And although Moses himself was not permitted to go into the land, the Lord permitted him to see it. He gave him a special vision of that land. And as Moses was viewing the land and seeing the land in detail, he remembered again that God always keeps his word to his people. Oh, child of God, let me emphasize this truth again. The Lord always keeps his word. God always honors his promises. Let us never forget that. We have seen this truth as we have studied the life and times of Moses. But let us see it again as we bring these studies to a conclusion tonight. The Lord always keeps his word. In Psalm 119, verse 89, we read these tremendous words. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's a text of scripture that you ought to underline in your Bible. The word settled here means to be set up. In other words, it cannot be changed or altered in any way. God's word, God's promises cannot be altered or changed. That means that all the promises that God has made to his people cannot be changed or altered in any way. Therefore, what God has promised me, he will give me. What God has promised you, child of God, he will give you. And what has he promised us? Well, he has promised us a home in heaven. And someday we're going to enter into that home in heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know that before we leave this scene of time that we have the assurance of eternal life? We have again noticed this truth throughout the course of these studies. But here in this portion of scripture, here we see it again. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And thank God, what God has promised in his holy word, he will perform. And let us never forget that. As we live for the Lord this week, as we seek to serve the Lord down here upon this earth, let us never forget that God has prepared a mansion for us in glory, and that someday we're going to enter into our eternal rest. But notice something else here. I want you to notice, secondly, what God did for Moses when he died. Not only what the Lord gave Moses before he died, he gave him a vision, a special vision, special eyesight to see all the land. But I want you to notice what God did for Moses when he died. God did two things for Moses when he died. First of all, he buried the body of Moses. Look what it says there in verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab. God thought so highly of this man that the God of glory undertook to be the undertaker of Moses. It says that God buried the body of Moses. This portion of scripture here reveals unto us the importance that God places upon our bodies. Men and women, someday God is going to raise our dead bodies to life again. Of course, when that happens, God will give us an incorruptible body. I believe the bodies of the dead should be buried, of course, and not cremated. And I'm sure that you would agree with me there. But if God took the time to bury the body of Moses, then we should take the time to do the same with our loved ones. But you can see here the importance that God placed upon the body of Moses. God did not allow anyone else to bury Moses. Moses, as we have seen, was a very special servant of the Lord. And here we have Moses walking up to the top of this mountain. And when he gets to the top of the mountain, the Bible says that he died there. And after he died, God undertook to bury his body. But of course, the Lord did something else. Not only did he bury the body of Moses, but he brought the soul of Moses home to glory. Although the body of Moses was dead and buried, the soul of Moses went to be with the Lord. Therefore, Moses was still and is still very much alive. Very much alive. Not the wonderful truth concerning the child of God, that when we die, that is absent from the body and present with the Lord. The truth is, child of God, you and I never really die. These old bodies of ours die. But the real person, our soul, we never die. And the interesting fact, and you know this, but let me point it out again to you. The interesting fact is this, that some 2,000 years after Moses died, and after God buried his body, we read about Moses in the New Testament. Just keep your hand in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and turn over just for a moment to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 17. And of course we have here Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as the Lord goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration, he takes Peter, James and John with him. And as they're up the mountain, two visitors arrive from heaven. Two visitors arrive. Moses and Elias, or Elijah. Look what it says in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Here we have Moses coming down from heaven to speak to Christ. And of course, when you read this portion of Scripture, you find out what their conversation was about. It was about the death of the Lord Jesus. But the fact, the truth that I want to bring out here is a very simple truth. A truth that we all know so well, but a truth that many today will not believe and will not accept. There is life beyond the grave. There is life after death. And as far as the child of God is concerned, the moment we die, we go to be with the Lord. And here we have the proof of it. 2,000 years have passed since Moses died on the top of Mount Pisgah, and yet here we have him, and he's still very much alive. Child of God, isn't that a wonderful truth? Death cannot destroy us. Death does not annihilate us. Oh, the body may die and be placed in Mother Earth, but the moment we take our last breath upon this scene of time, we go to be with the Lord for all eternity. And the interesting fact is this, that Peter knew that it was Moses that had come down from heaven to talk to the Lord. Look at verse 4 of Matthew chapter 17. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias, or one for Elijah. Peter recognized Moses. Now, don't ask me how he recognized Moses, for he had never seen Moses before, but he knew it was Moses. We will know one another in heaven. Of that there is no doubt. And here we can see that as far as the child of God is concerned, we should never fear death. We should never fear the valley of the shadow of death, because the Lord has promised that not only will he bring us safely through the valley of the shadow of death, but he'll bring us home to glory. Child of God, we should never fear death, because death for us is only a passing from earth to heaven. It's only a passing from earth to heaven. There are many wonderful portions of Scripture that we could consider. Keep your hand again in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and turn over just for a moment to Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Take a look at verse 50 and 51, and you'll read these tremendous words. It says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. That's the Lord Jesus leading out the disciples. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. There we have the Lord Jesus ascending up into heaven. Isn't that a wonderful truth, that after the Lord died and rose again, he ascended back up into heaven? Look with me there at Acts chapter 1. And look at verse 9 and you'll see this again. Acts 1 verse 9 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, going up into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven," underline those words, "shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Here we learn that heaven is real. Here we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back up into heaven. Child of God, you and I, when we come to die, we will go to be where Jesus is. We will go to be where Christ is. Turn back. Do you see this in John's Gospel chapter 17? Here we have the Lord Jesus in one of his great intercessory prayers, and he prays for his people. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in John 17 and verse 24. He prays, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." Underline it. "That they may also, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Where are we going to be, child of God, when we die? We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be where Jesus is. Take a look, and it's a familiar chapter, but just look at it again. John chapter 14, the wonderful promise that Christ made to his disciples concerning the Father's house. Verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Listen to it. "That where I am, there ye may be also." There ye may be also. Like Moses, we will know victory in death. Moses, when he died, his body was buried. God buried his body. That's what God did for Moses. But then he took his soul to glory. And that's what happens to the child of God. Maybe you're not saved in this meeting tonight. My friend, do you realize that if you were to die now, your body would be buried, but as far as your soul would be concerned, it would be plunged out into a lost eternity. Plunged out into hell itself. That's why we exhort you this evening to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and believe on him. Be saved tonight. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. But notice something else. Turn back again to Deuteronomy chapter 34. I want you to notice, thirdly, what God said about Moses after he died. Not only what God gave Moses before he died, this miraculous vision to see all the land in a moment of time. Not only what the Lord did for Moses when he died, he buried his body and he brought his soul to glory. Moses is still alive. We have seen that clearly taught in the scriptures. But notice what God said about Moses after he died. Look at verse 10 of Deuteronomy 34. "And there arose not a prophet." This is the word of God. This is God's testimony of Moses. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." My friend, what a wonderful testimony God declares about Moses in the precious word of God. Look at Joshua chapter 1. This wonderful testimony goes on. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Underline those few words at the beginning of verse 2. Here's what God says about this great man. "Moses, my servant." This is God's testimony to Moses. What a testimony. You know, we learn two things here. First of all, the servants of God die and pass away. Even the great men of God die and pass away. I believe there was none greater, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, there was none greater than Moses. And yet he died. And you know, child of God, no matter how godly we are, no matter how well we seek to live upon this earth for the Lord, the day will come when you and I will pass away. Even the godliest of men will die. Moses, as the servant of God, was prepared for death. He was prepared to die. I wonder, in this meeting tonight, let me ask you the question, if you're not saved, are you prepared to die? Of course, if you're not saved, you're not prepared to die. But remember this, let me emphasize it again. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And you'll notice also that when we die, we will all leave a testimony behind us. Is that not a thought that is brought out here? God speaks well of Moses. He leaves a wonderful testimony of this man. We will all leave a testimony behind us. But here's the question, what kind of a testimony will we leave behind us when we die? Moses left a good testimony behind him. The life of Moses brought glory to the Lord. God spoke well of Moses after he died. What will God say about us? How will God judge our lives? How will God sum up our lives upon this earth? It's not a very solemn thought, child of God. What will others say about us when we die? The day of our funeral, what will be said of us? Oh, I pray that each one here tonight will leave a good testimony behind them. That at their funeral service, that the preacher will be able to say, he died in the Lord. He died saved. He died as a child of God. He lived for the Lord. He served the Lord with all his heart, soul and mind. And more importantly, I pray that the Lord will be able to say that. Oh, child of God, men and women, it's so important that in these days in which we live, that we shine out for God in our testimony. It is not so much what others think of us, however, that counts, but what God thinks of us. Not so much what others say about us that matters, but what God says about us. Throughout these studies, we have emphasized that Moses was a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever consider what God the Father's testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ was and is? In closing, let me draw your attention to what God says concerning the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And what a tremendous word here we have concerning the Christ of God. Turn over just in your Bibles for a moment to Matthew chapter 12. Take a look with me there at verse 18 and on. And we read these tremendous words. Matthew 12 verse 18. It says, "Behold my servant," speaking of Christ, "whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." What a testimony we have there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 3 verse 17, we read these tremendous words. The Father testified of the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And thank God, the Father was well pleased with the Son. Well pleased with the birth of Christ. Well pleased with the life of Christ. Well pleased with the death of Christ. Well pleased with the resurrection of Christ. Indeed, there was nothing. There is nothing. But the Father is displeased about the Son. What a testimony. And of course, the Lord Jesus is greater than Moses. The Lord Jesus is greater than Elijah. The Lord Jesus is greater than all. And that's why even at the conclusion of this series of messages, again, I want to turn your eyes upon Christ. I don't know whether you can remember back to the first message that I preached, but I preached about Moses, the type of Christ. And I pointed you to Christ that day. And I've sought throughout the course of these studies to point you to Christ. And I want to point you to Christ tonight again. Oh, what does the Word of God declare? The Word of God declares that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's interesting to note, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. It's a parallel chapter to the Mountain of Transfiguration, but I'm sure that you remember in the story what the voice from heaven declared after Peter talked about erecting three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elias and one for the Lord Jesus. Take a look there again at verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Mark 9 verse 3. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias or Elijah with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, Listen to it. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more save Jesus only with themselves. Well, Peter wanted to build three tabernacles. He wanted to glorify Moses and Elijah along with Christ. That can't happen. And the voice from heaven, the Father, declared, This is my beloved Son, hear him. You see, friend, no one can take the place of Christ. No one can be exalted above Christ. And I pray this evening that you will trust in none other than the Lord Jesus. Because he is the Savior and he is the Redeemer. And he is the one and the only one who can save us and bring us to heaven. And change our lives and forgive us for our sins. And that's what this portion of Scripture here is declaring. At the close of the meeting, I wonder, are you prepared for death? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If you were to die right now, would it be absent from the body, present with the Lord, or would it be absent from the body and lost forever? Are you sure you're saved? Are you certain that you're on your way to heaven? Oh, I pray if you're not, that you'll come this evening and put your faith and trust in the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. For there's one truth that we learn here, and it's this, that all men must die. And all men must leave this scene of time. And we learn this, that there is life beyond the grave. And that's why it is imperative for you, my friend, if you're found in this meeting without Christ, to come and put your faith and trust in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.